Welcome to day 108 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm so happy to have you with me today as we continue through the Word of God. Today we will be reading four Psalms, all written by David: Psalm 17, Psalm 35, Psalm 54, and Psalm 63. We will be reading them from the Amplified Bible. These psalms were written during the season of David's life before he was crowned king and before he was actually put into the royal office of king, though he had been anointed by Samuel years before and prophesied to him that he would become king. But this is the season when he was running from King Saul, who was determined to take his life, feeling threatened by David and jealous of the people's love for David. Saul was trying to remove him as a potential rival to his kingdom. Yet David had no such intentions to usurp Saul's authority as the anointed king. So these psalms represent David's cries to the Lord for justice, for God to save him from people who are unjustly accusing him, from wicked men who wanted to kill him. And you will hear the cry of David's heart as you listen to these psalms. They're so precious for us today because we face situations where we also need to cry out to the Lord for vindication, for God to right wrongs that have been done in our lives. And you'll hear David's confidence in God, that he has seeing God's faithfulness in the past and that he's counting on God doing it again. So these are wonderful psalms for us to pray today in different situations we face in life. So beginning at Psalm 17 from the Amplified Bible, a prayer of David, verse 1. Hear the right, my righteous cause, O Lord. Listen to my shrill, piercing cry. Give ear to my prayer that comes from unfeigned and guileless lips. Let my sentence of vindication come from you. May your eyes behold the things that are just and upright. You have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and find nothing, no evil purpose in me. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent, the paths of the destroyer. My steps have held closely to your paths, to the tracks of the one who has gone on before. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon you, O God, for you will hear me. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness, O you who save by your right hand those who trust and take refuge in you from those who rise up against them. Keep and guard me as the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil and oppress me, my deadly adversaries who surround me. They are enclosed in their own prosperity and have shut up their hearts to pity. With their mouths, they make exorbitant claims and proudly and arrogantly speak. They track us down in each step we take. Now they surround us. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground, like a lion greedy and eager to tear his prey, and as a young lion lurking in hidden places. Arise, O Lord, confront and forestall them. Cast them down. Deliver my life from the wicked by your sword. From men, by your hand, O Lord, from men of this world, these poor moths of the night, whose portion in life is idle and vain. Their bellies are filled with your hidden treasure, what you have stored up. Their children are satiated, and they leave the rest of their wealth to their babes. As for me, I will continue beholding your face in righteousness, rightness, justice, and right standing with you. And I shall be fully satisfied when I awake to find myself beholding your form and having sweet communion with you. Psalm 35, a Psalm of David, verse 1. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and javelin and close up the way of those who pursue and persecute me. Say to me, I am your deliverance. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek and require my life. Let them be turned back and confounded who plan my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be through dark and slippery places, with the angel of the Lord pursuing and afflicting them. For without cause they hid me for their net, a pit of destruction without cause they dug for my life. Let destruction befall my foe unawares. Let the net he hid for me catch him. Let him fall into that very destruction. Then I shall be joyful in the Lord. I shall rejoice in his deliverance. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? You who deliver the poor and the afflicted from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who snatches away his goods. Malicious and unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. They reward me evil for good to my personal bereavement. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting, and I prayed with head bowed on my breast. I behaved as if grieving for my friend or my brother. I bowed down in sorrow as one who bewails his mother. But in my stumbling and limping, they rejoiced and gathered together against me. The smiters, slanderers, and revilers gathered against me, and I knew them not. They ceased not to slander and revile me. Like profane mockers at feasts, making sport for the price of a cake, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on without action? Rescue my life from their destructions, my dear and only life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among a mighty throng. Let not those who are wrongfully my foes rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye who hate me without cause. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against those who are quiet in the land. Yes, they open their mouths wide against me. They say, Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You have seen this, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Arouse yourself. Awake to the justice due me, even to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge and vindicate me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, your rightness and justice, and let my foes not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Aha, this is what we wanted. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up and utterly destroyed him. Let them be put to shame and confusion together who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify and exalt themselves over me. Let those who favor my righteous cause and have pleasure in my uprightness shout for joy and be glad and say continually, Let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall talk of your righteousness, rightness and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long. Psalm 54, to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a skillful song, or a didactic or reflective poem of David. When the Ziphites went and told Saul, David is hiding among us. Verse 1. Save me, O God, by your name. Judge and vindicate me by your mighty strength and power. Hear my pleading and my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers and insolent men are rising up against me, and violent men and ruthless ones seek and demand my life. They do not set God before them. Selah. pause and calmly think of that. Behold, God is my helper and ally. The Lord is my upholder and is with them who uphold my life. He will pay back evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, Lord, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Verse 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where no water is. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My whole being shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek and demand my life to ruin and destroy it shall themselves be destroyed and go into the lower parts of the earth, into the underworld of the dead. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a prey for foxes and jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him, that is, who binds himself by God's authority, acknowledging his supremacy and devoting himself to his glory and service alone, every such one shall glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies shall be stopped. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Today I want to focus on the background of Psalm 54. This particular psalm gives us an introduction which tells us exactly when the psalm was written and what was the situation that was happening at the time that David actually wrote this psalm. It tells us it was a poem written by David when the Ziphites went and told Saul, David is hiding among us. Just a few days ago, we read 1 Samuel chapter 23. And in that chapter, we found out that David was hiding in the wilderness and in a hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And that Saul sought him every day when he was in this area. Now, the Hebrew word Ziph means refining place. And this is very significant for us as well as it was for David. Saul was closing in on him in the refining place. You know, the word refine means to be made free from impurities. When gold is being refined, it's subjected to great heat, to the point that the gold actually liquefies and all the impurities rise to the surface, where they can be easily removed by the refiner. They're kind of skimmed off, you could say. Well, David was in the refining place in the wilderness of Ziph. The pressure from Saul was greater than ever before. David was barely one step ahead of Saul's army. And in the natural, he didn't have enough men to be able to fight the army that Saul was bringing with him in his attempt to track down and kill David. We know that David had a divine destiny to become king of Israel, though at this point in history, In 1 Samuel chapter 24, and here when this Psalm 54 was written, he had not yet stepped into that destiny. And in fact, he could not until he succeeded, if you will, in getting through God's refining place for him. You know, you might be in a refining place in your life, and you can actually discover if you are in a refining place right now by observing the experiences of David here in the wilderness of Ziph. The first sign of the refining place is that you are under constant pressure in your life. You might feel like the heat is on, so to speak. David was under extreme and unrelenting pressure because the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 23, when he was in the wilderness of Ziph, that Saul sought him every day. He was being chased by a madman who wanted to kill him. Now, I would call that pressure. Pressures of life can either destroy you or they can refine you. Satan wants the pressure of the refining place that you're in right now to destroy you. We know that John 10:10 tells us that Satan's goal is to steal, kill, and to destroy. But God's intention for the refining place that you're in right now is not to destroy you, but to refine you of all the impurities that are in your life. Remember, 1 Samuel 23, verse 14 says, "And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand." God had no intention of allowing Saul to kill David, but God allowed David to be in the test of the refining place. For David, the test was about doing things God's way versus taking matters into his own hands and doing things man's way. As we've mentioned in previous devotionals, David could have killed Saul on many occasions. We all know he was a great warrior, and definitely the opportunity to kill Saul had presented itself several times. His men even encouraged him to do so, and he could have felt justified calling it self-defense since Saul was desperately trying to kill him. But David knew something about God, that God requires a higher standard. He definitely was requiring a higher standard of David in order for him to walk into his destiny as the king of Israel. David understood that principle we discussed previously, that he was forbidden to touch God's anointed. And so he obeyed that. And in doing so, he passed that one test in the refining place. Would David still obey God even when he was under extreme pressure? Because after he told Saul, "I'm not going to kill you," and Saul went back to where he came from, and David went back to hiding in the wilderness, then another time arose where he started chasing him again. And the pressure was on once again. Would David continue to do things God's way or take matters into his own hands? You could be in that exact situation. David had to pass the tests, and there were many, of the refining place before God was going to allow him to become the leader of Israel. God wanted a leader that would only do things God's way. He already had a leader, Saul, who wasn't doing things God's way. But he wanted David to be a leader who would do things God's way regardless of how much pressure he was under from circumstances or from people. The test of the refining place in your life is a test that has to be passed in order to be promoted into the place of leadership and destiny that God has for you. You might be under pressure in your workplace to do things in a dishonest way. Perhaps your employer or your supervisor is pressuring you to lie or cheat or do something else that is displeasing to God, and you fear you'll lose your job if you do not comply. God wants to remove the impurity in your heart that causes you to fear man more than God. That is the purpose of the refining place. I remember some years back, several Christian employees that I knew who got into a dispute with their Christian employer about fairness of wages and hours. The employees were convinced that they were being wronged by the employer. And when this all happened, because my husband and I were friends with all the parties involved, both the employer and the employees, it was obvious to us that they were in a test. Would they resolve their disagreements God's way or take matters into their own hands and do things the world's way? Because in the United States, there's a way to deal with that situation in the courts. Well, they ended up in court, suing and countersuing each other, even though the scripture clearly teaches that Christians should not take each other to court. You can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God wanted to use the situation they were in to refine all the people involved, removing impurities that were hindering their Christian walk. But I guarantee you, the devil wanted to use that situation to bring destruction. The parties involved, both that Christian employer and these two Christian employees, ended up angry, bitter with each other, resentful, and there was much destruction to their Christian witness in front of unbelievers who observed the whole mess in the public setting of that courtroom. Another aspect of the test in the refining place has to do with the issue of offense. We discussed that David was forbidden by God to act against Saul or to have a hard attitude of offense toward him, and he passed that heart test by never speaking evil of Saul even after his death. But there was another test that he experienced in the wilderness of Ziph, the refining place, and it was from the people called the Ziphites, the people who lived in that area where David was hiding. These people, the Ziphites, went and told King Saul where David was hiding and promised to help turn David over to the king. The Ziphites, in essence, were turning up the heat on David in the refining place. David hadn't wronged them in any way, and yet here they were running to King Saul and revealing his place of refuge in the wilderness of Ziph. Do you have any Ziphites in your life? These are the people that increase the pressure in your life or the heat of the refining place. When they are around, any impurity in your heart comes boiling to the surface. You find yourself irritated, angry, wanting to strike out at them for what they're doing or saying. You may react with anger toward a Ziphite and not even know why they make you so mad. But all they are doing is exposing the impurities in your heart. And you can be assured that there are Ziphites everywhere. Satan will send a Ziphite your way, hoping to trip you up into sinning through anger, jealousy, bitterness, resentment, judgment, gossip, or some other sin. But God wants those difficult people in your life to expose the areas of sin and impurity in your heart so that you can recognize them, repent of them, and then guard against them in the future. Don't become resentful toward the Ziphites in your life. They're actually doing you a favor. If you recognize that you're in the refining place right now, you need God's grace to walk through it victoriously. Just like David needed grace to not take matters into his own hands or not become angry or resentful at these people, the Ziphites. He was struggling with it because in Psalm 54 he says, "For strangers and insolent men are rising up against me." Strangers, people he didn't even know were telling on him, you could say, revealing his hiding place in the wilderness. And they had no reason to turn against David. And so David's crying out, "Strangers are even rising up against me. People I don't even know are coming against me." So he was struggling with these Ziphites in the refining place who had no reason but went and revealed his hiding place to the man who was hunting him down to kill him. Many people in life, believers, Christians, run from the refining place. They run from the pressure people put on them. And they never allow God to perfect them and refine them and prepare them for his service. God wants you to take the situation you're in. Maybe it's a refining place for you where there's a lot of pressure on your life and your temptation is to become angry at the people applying the pressure or the people who are causing a circumstance that's putting pressure on you. Maybe it's your boss or the company you work for and you're very tempted to become angry at them. God wants you to keep your heart in right order, and if you have a tendency to jump to anger, that you allow the Lord to cleanse that out of your life, to purify you, to see the situation as an opportunity to say, okay, God, what is in me that's displeasing to you? I want to be refined. I want to be prepared and made ready for service. You for certain will need some grace to walk through the refining place and to come out cleansed and refined. Ask God for his grace. Grace gives you power to do things God's way. That's what grace does. When you can walk through an extraordinarily difficult time, pressure of circumstances is tremendous on you, and you can walk through it without running away, without blaming everybody else, without sinning in your heart, with your mouth, or in your mind. And instead, you can keep surrendering everything to the Lord and say, Lord, show me what I need to repent of and cleanse me so I can walk out of this refining place refined, pure as gold, because that's the goal. Just ask God for his grace, that power to do things his way. So you stay in the refining place until the job is completed. And then you will be able to say with Job, who said, when he has tried me or tested me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what God wants for your life. Take this period of being in the heat, where the heat is on, being in the refining place, as an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to bring you forth as gold, cleansed, refined, impurities gone, and full of faith, trusting that God will deliver you and bring you out in the end. That was the third test in the refining place for David. And that was to stay in faith that God would deliver him and make everything right on the other side of it. And we know that David indeed did stay in faith, even when he was under the most excruciating pressure, because the very last verse of Psalm 54, which is verse 7, says this, "For he has delivered me out of every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies." And he wrote that while he was in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the refining place, after finding out that the Ziphites had revealed his location to the madman king who was trying to kill him. And yet he still was able to say, God has delivered me out of every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. I will see that again. So let the Lord use the refining place you're in to refine you, so that you don't take matters into your own hands, that you stay free of offense toward the people bringing the pressure on in your life, and that you are able to stay in faith that God will deliver you and set things in right order. God bless you, and may he give you great grace to walk through your refining place.